This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are tuned into Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Christine Wong, and
Lily Chai.
And today we are talking about getting a clearer picture on crypto taxations. If you would like to get in touch with us about this topic, if you are a crypto bro, if you would like to share your opinion, of course you can do that. We are available to talk to on Twitter at BFM Radio, and we're also on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Now, why are we talking about crypto on a gloomy Friday afternoon? The Inland Revenue Board has recently issued a guideline to provide clarity on the tax status of digital currencies and digital tokens. And with Malaysian crypto ownership estimated to be 20% above the global average of 15%, this could be a sizable tax revenue if done correctly, right? So, of course, digital assets, aka cryptocurrency, are becoming increasingly popular globally as well as here in Malaysia. According to the Finders Cryptocurrency Adoption Index, crypto ownership in Malaysia is believed to stand, as I mentioned earlier, around 20% above the global average of 15%, with an estimated 21 billion ringgit in crypto assets. Not surprisingly, the top three cryptocurrency owned in Malaysia are Bitcoin, Ripple, and Ethereum. Now, the Inland Revenue Board has previously provided a simple guideline that basically indicated that crypto is only taxable if traded, but not taxable if it's an investment.
So last month, the Inland Revenue Board issued a clear guidance for how digital currencies and digital tokens, aka crypto, should be treated from a tax perspective. It was hoped that this would provide clarity to taxpayers who are investing within this space, and the IRB is adopting the principle of taxing such transactions based on whether it's classified as capital or revenue. So many large economies such as the US, UK, Canada, and India treat transactions of cryptocurrency as property and categorizes them under the capital gains tax. However, Malaysia, we do not have such tax provision to capture these transactions.
Mm-hmm. So for clarity, the latest guidelines refer to these definitions made by the Securities Commission Malaysia on what digital currency and digital tokens are. So digital currency is a representation of value, which is recorded on a distributed ledger, whether cryptographically secured or otherwise, that functions as a medium of exchange and is interchangeable with any money, including the crediting or debiting of an account. Whereas a digital token is a representation which is recorded on the distributed ledger, whether cryptographically secure or otherwise.
So on what instances can digital currencies or crypto be taxed? So the IRB regards cryptocurrency as financial assets. Profits generated from all aspects of cryptocurrency, such as trading, mining, dealing, and exchange of currencies, will be subject to income tax if the business is carried out in Malaysia. So trading of cryptocurrency is regarded as regularly buying and selling of the assets to generate profits. On the flip side, if a taxpayer buys the currency and keeps it for the long term, perhaps more than 2 years without buying and selling regularly, just sitting on it, then he or she will not be subjected to income tax when gains are realized.
Yeah. So for those who are mining these digital currencies or tokens with the intention to profit, they will be subject to income tax, and expenses incurred in relation to generating such income is tax deductible. But for situations where miners are only providing the service for investors without the intention of owning any of the digital assets, only the service income will be taxable, while the owners of the digital assets will be subject to normal taxation principles. Which all leads to the question we're trying to ask today, which is, are transactions using digital currencies and tokens taxable in the first place? So, for businesses or individuals holding digital currencies or tokens as its stock in trade and using them to buy goods or services, taxation principles will follow the normal stock in trade, which would mean the profit or loss from value fluctuations of the digital currency will be taxed or given a tax deduction. However, this does not apply if the currencies and tokens are held as an investment and exchange for other goods or services. The exchange will not be taxable.
Mm. And it is very important to note something. Mm-hmm. Although the guideline was issued last month, the IRB can apply these principles retrospectively. Mm-hmm. And they are merely the guidelines. They are merely there to provide clarity on the position of the law as it stands today. No new law or practice was created. And the biggest concern right now within the cryptocurrency space is that there are many taxpayers who have been carrying out such transactions but have not declared them. Hence, they are exposed to back taxes. So the IRB is going to find it challenging to look for such taxpayers because such transactions are not easily traceable. And a simple solution would be to allow a grace period whereby voluntary declarations can be made and past taxes settled without penalties. And this can allow the IRB to collect the taxes without enabling taxpayers to come clean.
So, of course, we want to know from you guys listening, with the volatility and current climate, are you an investor or still an investor in digital assets? You know, and do you agree with this move by the government? Do you think this is going to work out? And we also will not be the only people talking about this topic because, quite frankly, I don't think Lily and I are personally invested in crypto. But we luckily do have someone with us to discuss this topic. We will be speaking after the break to Keegan Ong, Tax Executive Director at PwC, to shed some light on this issue and maybe some more expertise than we have. But for now, here's Answer the Phone by Sugar Ray on BFM 89.9.
Bias-free media. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You are tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I am Christine Wong and I'm joined by
Lily Chai.
And today we're talking about crypto and taxes. And here to join us in that conversation is Keegan Ong, Tax Executive Director at PwC. But if you would also like to be part of the conversation, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Reach out with your thoughts. So, Keegan, thanks so much for joining us in the studio today. Nice to have you here, first of all. Just good. You can say hi.
Hi. Yeah.
So, okay, we mentioned before the break, right? Last month, the Inland Revenue Board issued guidelines on this tax treatment for crypto. You care to walk us through those guidelines and how it might affect the status quo?
Sure, no problem. I think basically, if you look at the guidelines, there are two key messages in terms of, you know, what are the scope of taxations when you actually invest into or you actually involve in transactions relating to cryptocurrencies, right? And next, the guidelines also talk about, you know, under what circumstances the income tax would comes in. That also means that you need to pay tax, right?
Right.
So in Malaysia, as you are aware, we are under self-assessment systems. That means, you know, as a taxpayer, you need to, you know, assess yourself, your own tax positions and fulfill the tax obligations on a yearly basis. And that is why it is important for IRB to issue a guideline, you know, to provide their positions, their thinking, especially, you know, in the transactions that are very new or complicated, such as cryptocurrencies.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Okay, so I guess then we talk about the scope of taxation just now.
Sure.
Under what circumstances it will be subject to Malaysian tax? The guidelines mentions that, you know, as long as the transactions are being performed in Malaysia or through a business presence in Malaysia, you know, any income that is accruing, deriving from Malaysia, that would fall under the scope of taxations for tax purposes. All right, probably a bit too technical. But, you know, apart from that, if you fall under the scope of taxations under the Malaysian income tax systems, what you need to determine next is, you know, in the guidelines, it also provide many examples with regards to whether it's capital or revenue in nature.
Got it.
Right. So how do you see this latest tax treatment impacting the crypto currencies and
like the interest in it, I guess, right? Like how it's going to be viewed or traded here
in Malaysia?
If you ask me, I guess not too drastic in terms of the, I mean, the impact to the industry, because there is no new laws or regulations being introduced. Everything's status quo. You know, since day one, the law is there. It's just that there is no clarifications or guidance issued by the tax authority, right? So what is really important, you know, from a taxpayer perspective is, like what you mentioned earlier, what are the considerations or the obligations for them in regards to the past transactions, right? Because now there is a guideline being issued. And then it's for the taxpayer to go back to look at their crypto transaction in the past, whether it will be a revenue or capital in nature. So if I may elaborate further, you know, what does it mean revenue or capital in nature?
Yeah.
So in the tax world, we have this test called wages of trade.
Right.
Sounds complicated. But you know, under the basis of trade, it has various of tests that you need to go through. For example, we look at the length of ownerships, right? So if a shorter holding period, that also means that there is an intention of trade,
right,
which also tantamount to the nature of revenue and subject to income tax. Of course, by looking at one test itself is not sufficient. We're also looking at the frequency of the transactions, right? So if you have a lot of transactions of buying and selling of crypto transactions, that also means that, you know, the likelihood of it to be seen as revenue in nature is also higher.
Mm.
All right. We also look at the motive. You know, when someone buy cryptocurrency or invest in cryptocurrency, what is the motive? Are you buying it for long-term gain purposes, for capital appreciations, or you buying it for short-term profits? Right. So that also important criteria that you need to consider. There are a long list of basis of trade, which can get very technical. And, you know, even as a tax practitioner or tax professionals, I find it quite difficult to, you know, to come to a landing to certain transactions when we talk about basis of trade. Okay, if you look at it, you know, what is the difference between investment in cryptocurrencies and investment in shares on the listed market, right? Actually, no different, right? The only difference is the digital assets that you are investing in. Hence, you will go through the same analysis, the basis of trade, to determine what is the tax implications.
Brilliant. We do have a question in from Ili here. Just wondering, how can someone be rich when they do crypto trading? And how is the... Oh, my goodness, my eyesight is terrible. How
this tax policy will impact them, the traders in the long run?
Thank you. That's why I need glasses and have them. So, yes, could you maybe shed some light on that, Keegan? What do you think of this? How does this tax policy impact traders in the long run? And actually, how does crypto trading get people to be rich in the first place?
So, okay, I assume the question is referring to crypto trading,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
I think with the guideline being issued by the IRB, it provides clarity to the public,
sure,
right? I think in the past, some people may think that investment in cryptocurrency, there's no tax consideration.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So with the guidelines, it shows that this is the positions of the Inland Revenue, right? And from a public perspective, from an investor perspective, if they fall into the revenue category, they invest very frequently, they buy and sell very frequently, and their motive is actually to get short-term profits. So as a responsible taxpayer, they should declare the tax and remit that to the tax authority.
Right. I mean, thinking about that and thinking about these clarifications being applied retroactively to, you know, this kind of trading, do you think it's going to be either harder or less attractive to trade and profit from crypto moving forward? Like knowing that that's going to be applied now?
I would say 50-50,
mm-hmm,
right? Because there will be a group of people that they don't really bother, correct? So there's okay. also another group of people that they want to, fulfill their tax obligations
right.
accordingly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask me, I think with the guidelines in place, that serve or provide guidance to taxpayers in terms of what is their real tax obligations.
Mm.
Right. I just want to clarify something. You said that there were laws governing this like crypto investment, like previously before the guideline was implemented in August. Like before that, were there guidelines for governing the crypto space?
No, there isn't any guidelines.
Right.
And there is also no new laws being introduced.
Mm.
So it does go back to the basic principle of the tax law,
mm-hmm,
right? So what we then assess is we use the existing tax law and apply it on the crypto transactions to determine what is the tax implications.
Right.
Mm. So I guess another question here is, you know, we've now gotten these clarifications last month. A lot of people are asking why release these clarifications now?
Okay. If you ask me, because we are in a self-assessment systems, right? And as a taxpayer, you need to look at your tax position, look at the transactions that you enter into to determine whether there is any tax implications or not. And I think if you look at the trend of cryptocurrency development in Malaysia, there is a spike in terms of the investment in crypto
right.
since 2020. Mm. If I remember correctly, I think the number is about 300% from 2020 to 2021,
right.
the increase in terms of the number of investment. And the size of cryptocurrency now is about 21 billion Malaysian ringgit. I think that is quite a sizable amount, right? So with that in mind, potentially, I guess there are quite a number of people out there. They may fall into the tax net, right? And you know, from the government perspective, I think it's timely for them to issue the guideline, you know, to tell them that, you know, if you are involved in investment dealing of the cryptocurrency, you have certain responsibility that you need to fulfill.
Got it. All right. Well, it's time for us to take a short break for some messages. But after that, we'll continue speaking to Keegan Ong, Tax Executive Director at PwC, all about crypto and tax. And again, if you want to get in touch with us, much like Illy did on WhatsApp, we are 018-789-8899. And on Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. But for now, here's Gimme Sympathy by Metric on BFM 89.9.
Billions from me. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Christine Wong. I'm joined by
Daily Chai.
And also Keegan Ong, Tax Executive Director at PwC, because today we're talking about cryptocurrency and how it gets taxed. And if you would like to get in touch with us about this topic, of course, we are on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and on Twitter at BFM Radio, much like Illy also wrote in earlier. And also we have a new message.
Right. So number ending 9130. Sorry to divert a little bit to tax treatment for shares and stock option given by a company, exercise timing, sell timing, and then if the stock option is from overseas exchange like Nikkei.
Okay, so I think right now we're diverging a little bit into non-crypto investment and tax. Yeah, Keegan, do you have anything to say in this vein?
Okay, probably take the first questions first. You know,
sure.
What is the tax treatment in terms of shares, right? Like what I mentioned earlier, whether it will be subject to tax or not, be it investment in cryptocurrency, investment in shares, the same tax would need to be applied,
right?
Right? Which is the basis of trade. So you have to ask yourself, when you invest in shares, what is the motive, the objective? Are you looking at for capital appreciations or are you looking at for a revenue gain, which is from a short-term perspective? And another question that you probably need to ask yourself is, you know, are you getting any borrowing or financing to buy the shares? If the answer is yes, then probably the likelihood of it to be seen as revenue would be higher as well, right? And another part is we talk about the frequency as well as, you know, what I call the holding periods. That also come into the picture. So it's never, there's no fast rules in terms of what would be revenue or capital. You need to evaluate the entire transactions or the situations for you to decide. I think what is really key for the listener here is if you take the position that you know, the gain arising from the investment in these shares is a capital gain, then you need to ask yourself whether you have sufficient documentation to substantiate the position, right?
Mm.
Because we work under self-assessment systems where IRB will come and audit you. They have 5 years to audit you. So a lot of challenges happens is, you know, 5 years down the road, whether the documents are still available or not, right? So a lot of people get into that kind of situations where IRB come and ask for documents they're unable to provide.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. I think, also there's the stock option question as well and stuff like that. But, I mean, do you feel comfortable to answer those questions as well while we're here looking at this?
Briefly, stock options generally would subject to Malaysian income tax if you are working for a Malaysian company because you are exercising a Malaysian employment. But I guess there are a lot of technicalities.
Don't know about the advice stuff quite for the moment now. But I think at this point, so from what I can understand from what you've said, the reporting requirements for the shares and the taxes are not too dissimilar from what have been established for crypto as well, right? I mean, could you just clarify a little bit what the reporting requirements are for taxpayers who invest in cryptocurrency?
Okay, basically, it's quite similar as well.
Mm.
Whether invest in shares or invest in crypto, if the gain arising from the investments, you know, you decided or based on your assessment, it turns to be a revenue income, right? Where you need to report it for tax purposes. You just have to declare that in your annual tax return, and pay their tax amount accordingly, right? I think what is really important, like I mentioned earlier, is the documentations to justify the position that you have actually adopted.
Right, and does it make a difference if the taxpayer invests via an overseas exchange?
Potentially, right? It also, if you look back at the guidelines that issued by the IRB, it talks about the scope of taxations. It will fall into the Malaysian scope of taxations if the activities that, you know, the investment activities is actually performed in Malaysia. All right. Of course, someone may say that the source is outside, it's foreign source, this kind of stuff. Again, you know, you need to be able to justify that. You know, especially if you are in Malaysia and then you invest, because in today's environment, a lot of things can be done through online, right? I think the fact that you are in Malaysia and invest, that would actually weaken the position to say that it's actually a foreign source, all right? So I think then someone may ask, how are we going to find out, right? If I invest overseas and the fund is outside Malaysia.
Not traceable as well.
Not traceable, right? I think not to forget, I think in today's environment, sharing our information are quite easy, all right? And we do have this AEOI, we call it automatic exchange of information between countries, all right? And, you know, what happened is, I think perhaps some of the taxpayers, they would have received some inquiries from tax authority in terms of why they have such a fund in the overseas bank account. And then it comes back to you whether you are able to say or justify to the authority that the sources of that fund.
Right, I see. So, I mean, looking again from this sort of foreign lens, right, do you have any intel on how other countries are taxing digital currencies or cryptocurrency transactions in comparison to the Malaysian approach?
Okay. I think, unfortunately, there's no one-size-fits-all kind of approach.
Yeah.
It really depends on how the country actually recognizes the cryptocurrency. For instance, in Malaysia, we treat it as financial assets,
right?
Based on SC definitions. In some other countries, such as US, UK, Canada, they treat it as property, right? So when it being treated as property, what happened is because in those countries, they do have capital gains tax. So any gains arising from there, I mean, it will be then subject to capital gains tax. But for Malaysia purposes, because we do not have capital gains tax, because we only have RPGT, that only taxes the gains from real property and shares in real property companies, that make it, you know, from a country perspective, a bit difficult to tax because it's only revenue. I mean, gains that is income in nature or revenue in nature is subject to tax.
Right.
Yes.
And I mean, is the fact that, you know, for Malaysia, we're self-declaring as well, does that have any change as well? Or is there any difference between other countries that may not have like self-declarations when it comes to tax?
Not really. So for countries that, I mean, adopt the self-assessment systems, we largely are the same treatment where you actually assess yourself and know how income that you receive, then you need to look at it whether it's taxable or not taxable.
Should be about the same.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Great. So investment in it's getting very popular in Malaysia. And what kinds of challenges do you foresee being faced by Malaysian authorities in taxing such transactions?
Perhaps 3 points. I think it's quite similar to taxing the digital economy because a lot of things are actually done online and cryptocurrency actually done online via the blockchain technology, right? So whether it can be traceable, I think that remains as one challenge. Secondly, we talk a lot about revenue versus capital. So, you know, when the tax authority come and approach the taxpayer and say that, hey, I want to tax this income because it's revenue in nature. So, you know, as a taxpayer, naturally, you would then try to justify it's a capital in nature. So that situation may also, you know, get into a dispute between the authority. And lastly, I guess, it's lack of awareness. A lot of people may not be aware that, you know, investment in cryptocurrency or they use cryptocurrency for their business transactions, they are tax considerations.
Right. There is a message coming through on WhatsApp, number ending 1490. He or she asks, how can we calculate personal tax due on crypto trading done? Is there like a proper online calculator that we could use to calculate it?
Okay. Proper online calculator.
Maybe not yet.
I'm not too sure. I guess there are from the IRB website, there should be some simple calculator for you to achieve. Because at the end of the day, you need to look at your entire tax profile. You know, it's not only the income from the cryptocurrency that you need to pay tax. You also need to look at, you know, for example, as an individual who actually earning salary income, right? So the salary income would need to be subject to tax. On top of that, you might have rental income, you might have other interest income, and gain from investment in cryptocurrency, right? And and if this gain is revenue in nature, then you have to add all together, and then you apply the because personal tax is under scale rate,
right,
depending on your chargeable income band. So hope that answered the question.
Yeah, I think at the moment maybe there might be something locally with the IRB themselves, but I don't think there is like a specific proper online calculator as of yet. I don't think so anyways. However, it is time woo, to take a short break, clearly, because I need a remedy by the Black Crowes here on BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Christine Wong, and
Lily Chai,
and also Keegan Ong, Tax Executive Director at PwC. Today, we are talking about crypto and how it's being taxed. We've also answered a couple of non-crypto tax questions because people have, in fact, messaged us. And if you would like to do the same, of course, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And in fact, we have a WhatsApp.
Yeah, we have a message from TL. They ask, crypto is basically being traded through online platforms, which many are international setup. Do we need to pay tax if the crypto is being traded using foreign platforms? Like Malaysian buy crypto using platform based in overseas, and the profit gain from crypto trading is also in foreign accounts. So Keegan, we did kind of answer this question before the break. Do you mind giving a brief recap on the answer?
Sure, no problem. I mean, there's no, how to say, you have to look at the transactions itself in terms of how you actually make the investments. For example, I mentioned earlier is, you know, based on the guideline issued by the IRB, they think that the scope of taxations, as long as the activities are performed in Malaysia, that should fall into the scope of taxation under the Malaysian tax law. Of course, then, you know, the questions of whether this is foreign source, those kind of things, that gets a bit technical and I there's no simple answer to this, right? And earlier on, I also talked about, you know, even though the gains or the funds are being kept in foreign account, not to forget, there are ways in terms of the tax authority might get hold, I mean, in terms of information of your funds sitting outside of the country in foreign account. And they may inquire you, you know, what is the source of the fund? And you need to be ready to say that, no, these are not relating to Malaysian income.
Right, so the list of questions will come from the authorities using something you mentioned being the majors of trade tests. And it is used for taxation in general for, all types of taxes. Who uses this test, and is the test accessible to everyone to see?
Yes, okay. I think the majors of trade tests is one of the basic principle when we look at certain transactions, whether it's subject to income tax or not, right? Because in Malaysia, we work on the income taxation system where we don't tax capital gains. So there is a list of basis of trade that being set up based on various case law principles. Earlier on, I talked about, you know, the motive of the transactions, the frequency, the holding period, as well as, you know, whether you get any financing or not. So those kind of information, I believe, if you want to search, you can get it online. In terms, you just have to type badges of trade. So who applies it? Both sides, what I mean is the taxpayers as well as the tax authorities. Because like I mentioned, self-assessment, you need to evaluate your tax position. And how you do that is based on the badges of trade, as well as, the respective tax provisions in the Income Tax Act.
Right. You know, I think that there are definitely, as we've seen from a lot of the people who are messaging in, there does seem to be a bit more, there's still some confusion, there's still some kind of uneasiness, and, you know, people are looking for clarity, right, on a lot of these issues. So in closing, what pointers or advice do you have for Malaysian taxpayers who are, you know, interested in crypto, who might be feeling a bit uneasy about it due to all of this uncertainty at the moment?
Okay. I guess as a taxpayer, what you should do is, I mean, if you do invest in cryptocurrencies or you are involved in mining of cryptocurrencies, if you look at the guidelines, the tax authority provides quite a number of examples. Even though you're in a business that you receive cryptocurrency as a mode of payment, what you need to do is really, you know, take a step back and review your activities and assess whether these are revenue or capital in nature. Like I mentioned, there is no straightforward answer because when it comes to assessment, whether it's revenue or capital, is always a very difficult one. Mm. All right. And you know, if you are not sure, I guess it's best to consult a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you're aware, I think the value of the cryptocurrency can be very significant.
Yeah.
And that also means that, you know, if there's any tax exposure, it could be very significant as well. So that is on the part of, you know, review and your tax position.
Mm-hmm.
Separately, perhaps you need to also think about whether you need to prepare and keep documentations,
right,
you know, to substantiate the position that you have actually adopted. And bear in mind that the IRB has 5 years to carry out audit, and it always, you know, depends on you to defend or to justify the position that you're taking.
Brilliant, brilliant. I think to close off the show, we do have one more message in on WhatsApp.
Right, number endings 3738. They say, hi, I have overseas investments, i.e. whereby I bought overseas shares via a local Malaysian brokerage house. And do I have to pay any Malaysian income tax? I have so far have not declared any income dividends to LHDN. And they know that there is no capital gain tax there. What advice? What's your advice? And should they declare the income to be taxed?
I'm assuming this is a non-crypto thing as well.
Right.
Yes. All right. I if I look at the questions, there are two parts to it.
Right.
One is dividend income. Dividend income is not subject to tax in Malaysia, mm-hmm. right? And the second part of it is actually the gains arising from the disposal of the shares. Again, there's no straightforward answer. You have to look at your pattern of investments, your profile, you know, whether you are investment holding or investment dealing, right? Investment holding means that you hold it for long-term purposes, for capital appreciation purposes. That tends to say that the nature is capital in nature. But if you are actively buying and selling of shares, perhaps, you know, you may fall into the category of revenue or income.
I think basically the answer to a lot of these questions is, first of all, just review. And second of all, document everything and make sure. And, you know, if you're not sure, talk to a professional about it and see what other advice they give you from there, I suppose, in all of these that we've covered today. But that brings us to about the end of our show. Thank you so much, Keegan, for joining us and, you know, shedding some light on taxes. Apparently not just crypto taxes, but taxes in general today. Really appreciate you being here. But of course, that brings us to the end of Enterprise BizBytes. And thank you to all of the people who sent messages in, and hopefully we managed to answer some of your questions about crypto or otherwise, other tax issues as well. And of course, do not go anywhere, because after the 1 p.m. news bulletin, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. While there is widespread acceptance that ESG principles are crucial for business continuity and success, the actual practice of it in various companies across different industries around the world is another debate. So the Breakfast Grill spoke to Dr. Andrea Bonin-Blanc, an international consultant on corporate government risk ethics, ESG, and cybersecurity, about the trends driving ESG action in the economy today and how businesses should position themselves for resilience. That is all coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. But, of course, we've had Keegan Ong, a tax executive director for PwC, on with us today. If you've missed any of today's show, you can go ahead and find the entire show as a podcast on our app, which is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play, and also on our website, bfm.my. On behalf of myself, Christine Wong, and Lily Chai, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.